Hello everybody and welcome to our second episode in GSC's Rude Mechanicals. This is where we talk to the magicians behind our shows, the directors, the designers, stage managers who bring our shows alive. And I'm really excited because today we're going to be chatting with director Charlotte Conquest. Charlotte, how are you?
Hi Matt, yeah, I'm really well, thank you.
Good stuff. Now Charlotte, I think it was 2009 when we started.
Was it?
Yeah. Our first show, Taming of the Shrew, 2009.
Yes.
And we've done...
One of my favourites, yeah.
Oh, it's such a gorgeous show. And you've given us two beautiful shrews, actually, over time. But before we talk a bit about GSC and what you've been doing here, what were you doing or what were you doing before GSC? And you live in Guildford as well, so maybe just tell us a little bit about that.
About that. Was there life before GCS? Guildford Shakespeare Company. Well, I suppose I've been working as a director since graduating from Middlesex University, way back in the mid-90s. And so I'd been directing probably for about 10 plus years when I met you. And most of my work as a freelance took me to sort of a different range of theatres and theatre companies. I worked for some wonderful places and with some wonderful people. Northcote Theatre in Exeter was where I sort of started out my career. Learned a lot of my craft there and got to work with some incredible people. I used to work with a brilliant theatre company in Oxford, a lot creation theatre company. Worked for various other sort of organisations. I worked as an assistant at the RSC. Very fortunate as well to be staff director when Trevor Nunn was in charge for the National Theatre, and various other sort of freelance work. Worked at Salisbury Playhouse and a lot of range of different roles as well. You know, I worked also as a choreographer initially in my career.
Right.
I started out as a dancer. And I think movement has always been a big kind of part of what I like to work on in the process of theatre and how I sort of like to look at things visually and physically as I work through text. So that's always been a very useful useful stepping stone for me. I worked as a choreographer as well at the Globe and was fortunate enough to work with really interesting companies like Headlong and Oxford Stage Company when it was around, and various sort of organisations like that, working with some amazing directors, Tim Carroll to name one. But we collaborated on quite a few projects very early in my career, which helped sort of inform a lot of the way then I started to develop as a director.
Great.
In those years following.
It's amazing. I mean, just that, you know, potted history of everything you've been doing. What an enormous range of, you know, experience. Like you say, going from your staff director at the RSC, which, you know, we can probably envisage, you know, a big, massive building, huge, you know, loads of people around, to be, you know, to working with, you know, the smaller companies like Guildford Shakespeare Company or with you know, Creation, who are, you know, similar in GSC's sort of output. That must have given you such a breadth of knowledge of the industry, how it all works and how different people work as well.
Absolutely. I think, you know, working in a building, as you say, is a completely different experience than working as a freelance. So having sort of that range of experience has helped me to sort of develop a lot of the way I approach my work. I mean, much of my work now is self-motivated and sort of self-driven. So you have to sort of be very careful with how you compartmentalise all of those aspects of your life, certainly as you're working through theatre.
Yeah.
And I think there's always sort of assumptions that you gather as you go through your career that and sort of legacies that you sort of start to build that you kind of need to then rework so that you don't ever kind of approach your work with a sort of an assumption that you know how it's supposed to be done. I'm consistently changing direction, reinventing myself, questioning my approaches. And I think it's only through doing that that you sort of really allow yourself to continue experimenting in the work you create.
That's fascinating. I mean, I know that we've worked together just over 10 years now, and it is interesting seeing, you know, getting to know someone like yourself, you know, an artist like yourself, and seeing your, like you say, that development, even, you know, from the small amounts of, you know, time that we spend together in the rehearsal room, and you know, how approaches change, and how, you know, I know you'll say to me sometimes, you go, do you know what, I always used to do this on a first day, but do you know what, I'm doing this now, I think this works so much better. And so it is a real organic process.
Yeah, I think so. I always say to myself, expect nothing and allow yourself to be surprised.
That's brilliant.
because you know, you can be as prepared as you want, but actually just being able to work in that moment and sort of just and have all that sort of experience that you've gathered behind yourself to sort of allow yourself that sort of momentum and confidence within which you can work, but then also to just sort of jettison it or let it all go and try something new. I think that keeps you playful, yeah, always as a director, and I think that's probably what I've hopefully learned probably more recently, you know, as I've gone through. But, you know, sort of reflecting back on the sort of the work that I was doing, say, 20 years ago, in some ways, I suppose there's also an authenticity that I've sort of tried to retain and help myself to sort of develop beyond what I sort of, you know, to always develop beyond the show I produced before.
Yeah.
So, you know, I suppose it's two things. That's what I suppose I'm saying. That you have the ability to sort of take your experience, but also allow yourself to sort of clash that alongside your reminting, your freshly minting of something that you're finding out for the first time, and feeling a little bit uncomfortable with that. Making sure that you trust in your own skin, but you also omit things that at the same time that you wouldn't always necessarily have thought about omitting.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
No, it completely does. 'Cause, I mean, actually, from a practical point of view, you know, just from the sense that, and we'll come on to a bit about rehearsals and your approach to things, but, you know, even every project that a director becomes involved with, then there's a whole new team of people who have a whole new way of working. So it's an element of,
absolutely,
being flexible enough, yeah, within your own processes to be able to adapt to the different people in the room on this project to that project.
It really is. And, you know, and that's such an exciting time of any process, is actually working, you know, working with a team of people that you've worked with before, but also working with new people who are going to come with their own thoughts and inspirations. I mean, that's when things can get really unlocked, because you trust each other. As soon as you trust each other, you're able to develop your abilities to work together in a very passionate and wholesome way. And it does feel that those experiences are just second to none. They're such fantastic times to have. Very
so
lucky.
This might sound a silly question, but
yeah.
I was going to ask you what if. Because, you know, some directors probably, I don't know, what some people might think that directors, they just tell the actors where to stand and, oh, this line means this and you should be feeling that here. But there's, I mean, we know that there's so much more to being a director.
Yeah.
But are you able to sort of, in a potted sense, just give us a sense of what it is that a director does, or how you see the director's role within a production?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an ever growing phenomenon. what it is I do, it really, it's a funny,
yeah,
thing.
I bet.
I mean, you know, there's this very sort of the practical side to things, which I can talk a little bit about. There's also the very sort of the academic in you that kind of needs to sort of get nourished by the work and the plays, and, you know, kind of sort of start to unpick it and see what you are gaining from it, what you and the stories that you want to tell from that. And then there's the very sort of creative, throw it up in the air, you know, interpretive work that you start to sort of look at as well. I suppose from a director's point of view, on a practical side, most of the time as I'm preparing to go into rehearsals, maybe even for sort of 6 months or so prior to that. Most of that time is spent getting to know the text really well, maybe R&Ding sort of research and development work that you might want to put in with a group of actors around a table when you just sort of chew around some ideas. Then the next part of it is sort of maybe editing the script, working out casting, who might be right for the role, maybe auditioning actors as part of the casting process. Moving into then production meetings, which are sort of an essential part of any process. And that's a really exciting time because you get to meet with the designer, the lighting designer, costume, everybody involved in the production, from marketing through to stage management. And that's the time when you find your feet, as it were, and you can sort of dig around together in the kind of the real essence of the show and what you want to create together. That's a very exciting time. That's all sort of before you even got into rehearsals. So that's usually that process I like to sort of carry through usually a 6-month period. Not working on it every day necessarily. Sometimes it's important actually to read a bit of the script and then come back to it 2 weeks later. Sometimes my best efforts are doing are reading a script and then not touching it for a couple of weeks, coming and allowing it to kind of brew cup of tea might brew. and then once you get into rehearsals, yes, of course it's about, you know, about your vision and kind of imparting that to the actors, bringing the team together, being a substantially loyal and able leader, I think, in the room, so that people are able to give their best work, they feel safe enough to approach the work with risk and daring, and then probably to talk through characters and how they might all interact in the play. So it becomes, you know, rehearsals itself becomes quite a sort of full-on experience for a director. I think there's also that, I suppose I was speaking about it a bit earlier, but that sort of ability to be able to slash away as well at stuff, so that you can actually cut stuff as well and back away. That, mm-hmm. I think it comes with a sort of an experience and growing confidence, I would suggest. Yeah. I think that's definitely what it is. You feel more comfortable in your own skin and you learn that omitting things is the same as directing the most out of it. You know, in some ways, sometimes it's really nice to trust completely in the actor or the writer. You know, Shakespeare really speaks to us about how to direct the plays through the verse. So sometimes it's about not interfering too much and allowing people's talents to breathe and work together and then sort of shape that as you go. So very often it's, I haven't used the word yet, but it's that kind of collaboration. That's quite an overused word in some senses, but I think it's a really important word. You know, if you're collaborating with your team, then you must be doing your best work.
Yeah.
Because hopefully you've picked the team within which that you're able to sort of gain the most out of each other's abilities. I think that's sort of part of what I like to do. And I suppose if I'm looking on the other side of theatre and how I like to approach my work as I move through my career more, I suppose there's a part of it's a responsibility I feel I have a little bit as well. I have a bit of a socialist and humanist agenda too. And
great.
I think we have, you know, I think we just have a responsibility, us lost souls who are working as artists, as we do, to keep shifting the paradigm further, whether it's locally, nationally, internationally even. Diversity on stage, off stage, bring more people into the inclusive embrace that theatre is able to offer.
Because you're right, theatre, telling of stories, the sharing of the theatre world and the stories on stage, whatever that stage might be, brings all those communities together. And it's an organic thing. We're dealing with human beings. You're not dealing with numbers on a page or or bricks or something. You're actually dealing with, you know, people's emotions, thoughts, opinions, lives, and so on. And 200 people in that audience, you know, half of them may really be experiencing what that character's going through. Some of them might not have a clue what that character's going through. Some of them might, you know, be thinking about they've left the cooker on at home. Or, but at the same time, they're all coming with their lives to this,
yeah,
to this,
yeah,
to this play. And so, so as artists, it's our responsibility to be able to take them, harness them, look after them, but also at the same time be able to go, well, have you thought about thinking about this?
I agree. I think hopefully what we're doing is something quite radical. I think theatre ought to be provocative. It's nothing about being antagonistic, actually. I think it's provocative, and I hope that,
yeah,
what we do with audiences is help to liberate and bring people to help unlock, you know, part of themselves, that part of their humanity, you know, has that purpose, and we have a duty to question that, as well as giving people a rollicking good time.
Well, that's it. I think you know, it comes in both two ways, doesn't it? Because, like, you know, you know the shows that we've done, you know, people will come away and they'll, you know, Measure for Measure, for example, which probably an obvious you know, obvious example, which was, you know, we did our gender swap at the interval, and it was really on the button for what was, you know, going on in all our lives, in the news, everywhere we were looking at that time. But then at the same time, go, you know, Comedy of Errors or moments from Twelfth Night, where people come up to us and say, I've never laughed like that for such a long time. So in the sense, yeah, you've got some people going,
yeah,
God, thank goodness you're putting these big things on stage, these big, you know, debates, these arguments, these statements on stage, but at the same time, thank you for cheering me up. Me and my family haven't had a good laugh like that for ages, or, you know, or what a great night out we've had.
And it's
the same reaction. You know, it's the same reaction between the two.
If you touch people's hearts on lots of different levels, then you're able to, you know, express, it helps. People find expressing emotion really very difficult, actually, you know, in our busy lives. We do struggle with that. And to communicate, you know, with people in sort of different emotive kind of levels, it really helps to open up a dialogue with yourself or with somebody else that you love or hate. I'm hoping that in that sense it should be hopefully quite radical an experience too, yeah, for people. And that's why I think children could become so engaged in the work, hopefully, that we do, because they are more open to that, and hopefully that helps them to sort of speak in more honest terms within their own kind of families and lives, you know.
So moving on from that, you know, well, it kind of links in, you just said about the experience and stuff. And so what all the stuff that you've done, obviously, with us has not been in theatres. It's been in, you know, museums, castles, churches, gardens, all these site responsive elements to it. As from a director's point of view, what the sort of, you know, it's a very different setup to go into, you know, the Yuan Arno, let's say, and there's a show you're doing there, to being in the Castle Gardens or in a Spiegel tent or something. Can you just say a little bit about what you enjoy about the challenge of the experience of site responsive stuff?
Yeah, no, site specific work is just such a joy to indulge in. And, you know, the immersive experience for the audience, you know, it just never gets any better than having, you know, the sky above you giving you this moonlight, and the nature that you're surrounded by, and the atmosphere, and sharing in that experience with the audience, being so close to the action as well, so that you can have the actors moving around on the stage and interacting with the audience in a much more direct way. If you have the actors hidden behind a you know, fourth wall, if you like. And I suppose that for me, it just also, I think it just really helps to sort of allow yourself that little bit of sort of extra space. You're not limited by the same constraints that a theatre sort of box shape would give you. You can use depth perceptions, you can use longer entrances and exits, you can play with space in a really different way. It becomes quite filmic, I think. You know, you're able to sort of, your eye can sort of range wherever you want it. Your eyes become like the camera, zooming in on particular areas that you want to focus in on. You haven't got the sort of the trickery necessarily of lighting in the same way that you have in a theatre. So you have to be very specific on your own sort of, you know, viewing of the experience itself. And I think as a director, I'm always sort of trying to be aware of that, of working out what it is the audience must look at, what they ought to be looking at. But yeah, you know, rules might be broken at any point. So I think, you know, from a director, again, from a director's point of view, it's quite, I find that really exciting, you know, to just to have everything sort of thrown on its head a little bit, and you aren't able to be sort of, you're unable to follow the rules, the normal rules. And so, you know, it has its frustrations too, because obviously you have to be you have to be constantly aware of, you know, what happens if, you know, it rains on that piece of paper that you've got as a prop. Well, that'll just dissolve. So you have to think around sort of different ways of working on props and trickery in a slightly different way. But again, what it just does is it just makes you create and be, you know, ambitious in your creation the whole time.
Amazing. Thank you. Well, before we finish up, I just wanted to ask you if there is any, I mean, you've done so, you know, we know you so well and our audiences know your shows so well. I just wondered if there was any particular little moments, favourite moments or memories that you go, I remember that one, or from your shows you've done with us. So there have been so many.
Well, it's so hard, that one, because every show, I mean,
it's like choosing your favourite child.
Yeah. I know, of course, and you've got, you know, all the companies sitting out there listening, pick my one, pick my show. But I think, and it sounds a bit glib, and I don't mean it to, but I just feel very proud to be able to engage audiences, particularly ones who wouldn't usually think they'd enjoy theatre, or more specifically Shakespeare, directing Shakespeare, watching that energy and delight radiate off them, and off children in particular, and teenagers, particularly teenagers actually, who come. I've got teenagers myself, so I know how sort of sceptical they can be, and when I'm able to bring, you know, a teenager to see some piece of theatre that they might sort of be a bit kind of suspicious of, or a little bit grumpy about being dragged out or away from their devices, and they sit there and they actually, you know, slowly through the evening you see them crack a smile, and by the end they're sort of nodding, and then they might come up to you afterwards and say, yeah, I really enjoyed that, thanks. To me, that is just to,
that's a five-star
that,
review,
to be honest, that's what I do it for. And I think each show brings about more learning and a chance to develop my craft further, and sort of experience that, and experience what audiences might experience. But I suppose if you're going to push me on some favourite productions, I always say, actually, my most favourite production is the one I've just done. Because I always have the sort of the residue of that memory.
Yeah, and the energy.
The energy, you know, and you can't let that go. And I think the Scottish play that we just did in Holy Trinity Church was a truly majestic and wonderful experience, and the cast that we work with are an incredible bunch of people who just brought their all to every rehearsal day and every performance, and we were very fortunate to work with such special people. But, you know, again, going right back, Tame of the Shrew, one of my favourite plays, I just loved working on that with you guys first, as my first production, and then as we resurrected it with an amazing cast again. Can't remember the year now.
2015.
So it was a few years after the first one. And then last summer we did Twelfth Night, and that was a joyous experience in the Castle Gardens. And I thought that was a very special show as well, in its own way. And I think it was just lovely to have, we had, you know, we had really rubbish weather during tech, but then when the sun came out, my God, we appreciated it.
Yes, we did. Yeah. Oh, I've never been so, I think I've never been so wet. I remember we were doing a fight call with Philip under a gazebo to maximise the amount of time we had while they were trying to... God. Dry the set, but they couldn't dry the set because it was raining on it. And, oh man, rivers running through the dressing room.
It was not. Nobody needs that.
No one wants that.
But because the cast was so, so wonderful and just wonderful humans, we got through, didn't we?
We did.
And a cup of tea. And stage management were just extraordinary. I just remember them just, you know, putting their waterproofs on and just, you know, picking up any bit of rag they had just to try and dry up the set for the actors at any moment. I mean, they were just extraordinary people.
Amazing. What a team. What a team.
Yeah. What a team.
Charlotte, thank you so much for taking time to chat to us about directing and about your experiences and your approaches and your memories of GSC. Thank you so much. And we will see you very soon once again. Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you so much, Matt.